I don't know. Yeah, Jimmy was pretty big.
Yeah.
But we had gotten rid of the chickens.
How'd you get rid of them?
We gave them out to Annie Cordy out in the country. And Jimmy had the two ducks. And the woman in back of us had let him dig a hole in her backyard and put water in it to keep the ducks in it. And he used to come home from school and go in there and feed the ducks and put more water in and take care of the ducks. And this was going on for a month or more. So finally, Jimmy had made a kayak in the cellar. And he had sent to Chicago with some money that he had made working and bought this kayak to put together in the cellar. And he had worked on it, for months, and put it all together, and it was all finished except to paint it. And then when he tried to take it out of the cellar to bring it up to the garage or the yard to paint it, he couldn't get it out. He had taken it down in strips of wood, so he couldn't get it up as a kayak. So he had to take it apart again and bring it up as strips of wood and take it out in the garage and put it together there for the second time. And then paint it. And then get the two oars. So we decided this day that Dad should go down to Sea Isle with a load of stuff for us to have down there. And Jimmy was to go with him. And he was going to tie the kayak on top of the Ford.
It was a touring car, Ford, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, a touring car, sure.
A loose roof.
And he got the kayak tied up all right. And he got the oars put in through the front window and into the back of the car. And we got all our stuff packed in the trunk and in the back of the car, all this load of stuff that we were sending down. And they were all just about ready to leave. And Pop's standing on the side, on the sidewalk, waiting to just get into the car. And Jimmy's evidently all ready to go. And Pop gets into the car, and Jimmy says, "Just a second, Dad." And he runs into this yard and gets his two ducks by the neck and carries them out, jumps into the car over the oars, and sits down holding the two ducks in his lap. And I'm standing outside watching this performance, about ready to burst, hysterical. And I just take one look at Dad, and Dad looks at me sort of over his glasses. And I thought, if I could only have a picture of that. With the kayak on top, the oars sticking out the front, the ducks on Jimmy's lap, and the expression on Pop's face. I thought Jim will get about halfway from here to CO, and he'll be told to put those ducks out into the road or into the grass or something. But no, he didn't. He got down there. We got down to CO. The ducks were still there, and they were over at Berlinger's in the pool of water over there, and they lived for a year. And the next summer, when we went down to Seattle, Berlinger's presented us with some duck eggs from the ducks. It was really funny.
Do you remember any more like that on the packing of the old Ford or stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
Overloading?
The overloading of the old Ford.
And coaches on it?
Bicycles and coaches and high chairs and
trunks and suitcases.
And then we'd still have the fella come and taking a load down by express.
And high chairs and low chairs. And
all kinds
cars.
Of things, yeah. Oh, it was a riot going to the shore. And you couldn't pack till the last minute, you know, until you were just going. So everything was left there in a mess until the last minute.
Pull all the shades down, leave the house like
yes. I'll never forget that. Remember you when I was away in 25 when Pop and I went to Europe and Grandfather was down there and you had the cat and you wanted to keep the old mangy cat and the grandmother wouldn't let you and Grandfather came out it was a cat and I think Grandfather kicked the cat down the steps and because he did you rolled yourself all the way down the steps after the cat, do you remember that?
I remember that.
Oh.
That's
when we were going away, you know, in 25 to Europe, and the day before we left, Patrick falls on the pilings.
Cuts his chin, remember?
Cuts his chin.
And then we all go to the station.
Oh, will I ever forget that. All went to the station with me.
Yes.
He had gone up for the weekend. Didn't mean much to him because it was the ordinary thing for him to go away after the weekend. And the next day, I had to leave by myself. And they all came to the station with me. And I remember seeing that train leave and this trail of you from one end of the station. I remember you particularly with your back against the back of the station, and then the trail of them all along that station platform with the girl with the baby in the coach at the end, and just seeing them all standing there as I left. I could remember them when I was on the boat, as the boat went out of New York. I could see that line all the way down the Sea Isle station of them all as I left them behind me.
They didn't understand so well, did they?
Of course they didn't. You were only about 10 or 12, I guess. The glasses on you. I guess you were about 12, huh?
Granny, you had the confidence in Granny taking care of
them. Oh, sure. She couldn't have gone if I didn't have Granny. Well, that was the thing, you know. She didn't know. I went without her knowing. I told Daddy that if he told her or she knew anything about me being pregnant, I wouldn't go. And I went and came back in September, and Therese was born in December.
And she didn't know until then.
No.
How did you start making root beer down there? Let's see, what started that?
Granny started it, because they drank so much of it, and they liked it. Anything they liked, she'd try. Remember one time trying peach brandy down there. We had the whole cellar full of peaches and flies and everything else.
Made a great jelly. Well, she used to make a lot of beer, too, in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, oh, yes, I used to make strawberry jelly and blackberry jelly down there. And those other berries.
Peach,
No, those berries that they used to pick
blackberry,
in the...
Raspberry.
No. There were a berry we used to pick down there, particularly in Seo.
Blueberry?
No, there were a special berry that was down there in the bushes, and we used to pick them and preserve them.
Oh,
that was funny. They were greenish. They were like gooseberries, but they weren't.
Did you light candles down there during storms? I have some remembrance of that.
Well, I had a shrine down there, a Nexihoma shrine.
Where'd that come from?
Florence. It was in the house when we bought it. And I had two candlesticks electrified, and I took them down there and put red lights on them. And when we'd say the rosary at night, I would light the red candles. And I thought it would just inspire them a little bit more and have a little something different about it.
How did the programs originate, the birthday celebration programs for a pop?
They originated with me. Because as soon as they started going to high school, or started even in grammar school, when we went to CO, my idea was to keep them busy at something worthwhile during the summer, not to just let all loose ends, leisure and nothing else. So I started by having lessons. Sometime of each day. I used to arrange, like after lunch, I would take a half an hour or an hour and do some little bit of schoolwork with each one of them. And from that, it developed into each one learning a poem. And then as soon as we would go down to CL, we would start right in. And at the beginning, when they were younger, I picked the poems for them. When they got older, as they got into high school and could do it for themselves, the older ones had to pick their own poems. And everybody had to learn a poem every week. And then on Friday night when Dad came down, the one who recited their poem the best got a reward. And that started the rehearsals and the celebration for his birthday on the 15th of July. And then for his birthday, everybody had to learn a song by themselves, know the words, and sing it by themselves, and a poem.
Didn't he give a reward of some kind?
Yes, money. And then we had the whole crowd singing certain songs, little parodies that I would make on popular songs of the time. And then after they got older, we'd have little plays. Remember the play we had of Father Campion that you wrote when you were in in Poughkeepsie?
Well, wasn't it on his birthday that we usually went to a Hygeia pool?
Not on his birthday. On his birthday we would have this celebration. But usually would be the next day. Then he would give them a reward by taking them over to Atlantic City to the Hygeia pool. And hot dogs and all that sort of stuff for lunch. And pony rides. And he would entertain them after they entertained him for his birthday. Yes, I certainly wish I had kept those programs because we would make up programs every year. And Dr. Hughes' birthday was on the same day. So we would always include him in the birthday. He would be brought in some way to some of the songs or something that was said. And his wife and daughter were invited up to the celebration. And then after it was all over, we would have some ginger ale and cake or cookies or something like that. So it was always a big day, the 15th of July.
I figured C.L. was a way of cutting down doctor bills.
Oh, yeah. I always felt that C.L. saved us a lot of money in doctor bills. Because the children were so free and the place was so open and they could run in bare feet most of the summer. And they were only 50 yards from the beach. And it seemed to me that it always did them an enormous amount of good. So that I felt that it saved us a lot of doctor bills for things.